It's not complicated. Call it creative. Call it art. Call it design. It's the Design Coach on Lake 96.1.
Oh my gosh, you caught me mid-stretch starting the show.
Sorry.
Good morning, everyone. It's the Design Coach with Philip Sassano.
I don't really get to pick the time.
Happy Sunday, everybody. And happy Valentine's Day weekend. How was Valentine's Day for you, Nance?
Dusty, as usual.
Oh, my. Dusty in your renovation.
Everything
You're in the
dusty
midst of
right
your
now.
Renovation.
Yep.
I love it, though.
Nothing
that's
but
so
dust.
Good for you.
I can't get it out of my hair.
I love later in life renovations. Listen, I'm going through one right now. Julie and I started packing up stuff for our eventual remodel of our entire first floor.
Yay!
It's a very aggressive undertaking, but we're really, really excited about it. And I feel like we're kind of dialed in on it.
Yeah?
So, yeah. And I don't know about you guys, okay? Stop blaming the groundhog. Stop blaming the groundhog. Everybody in the Midwest, stop blaming the groundhog. Just stop, okay? This is what you get.
It's February.
Yeah, this is what you get.
Right.
This is what it looks like, okay? This is when, you know, everything looks a little bit like some scene out of The Shining.
It's
every
the upper Midwest.
That's just how it looks. You know what I mean?
That doesn't mean we have to like it,
though. You know, family members are, you know, everybody's on edge a little bit. At mid to end of February, that's just kind of, no, it's totally true. There's something in the air. And then there was a full moon mid-February that I'm sure whacked everybody at the same time. They were already on edge because it's winter.
It's, we're springry.
We're sprangry. Yeah, no,
yeah.
That's excellent. Nancy. Did you just make that up?
I did.
You got to hashtag that, kid. That might go somewhere. That may go somewhere. I don't know. As Zoe's like, hashtags dad are not in.
Oh, God.
I'm like, I don't know. People still using them, but.
Hashtag.
What is it again? Sprangry?
Sprangry.
Yeah, I think everyone's sprangry.
We're waiting for spring.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I've done this thing, like, you know, for those of you who don't know, February is my birthday month.
Aw.
Yeah, it's coming up here. The big 5-6. I'm not. Here's the thing. I can't envision. I couldn't envision myself at 56. I don't know how I'm going to envision myself at like my dad's age, like in his 80s, just kicking it. Like, I don't know what I'm. I don't know what I'm going to be like because I don't feel like I thought I would feel or act at 56. I just don't. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not saying that I was going to be walking around with a monocle, like, dressed in a tuxedo. You know what I mean? Like, oh, hello, is it time for breakfast in the solarium? Like, I'm not saying that that was going to be my vibe.
Are you a butler?
No, I'm the guy from Monopoly.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that that was the goal. I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I'm, like, okay, so let's just start with this. As anybody knows from this show, the first segment is pretty much just all about me. Okay, it's just me. Getting out me, yes.
I've noticed.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You raise your hand in agreement. Okay.
Yeah. I'm raising awesome. My hand on the radio.
So you know what iFit is? Like iFit on your phone?
Oh, I've heard of it.
So as best as I can gather all of the equipment in my workout room.
Oh, is this another AI
is
thing?
No. You know what? And today's show will not be about AI, but we're going to have to revisit that because, man, is it moving fast. we're in my workout room. All of my machinery from the treadmill, well, the two pieces of machinery I use, treadmill and the rower that I discovered. We're going to talk about the rower in a minute. I've decided that, like, I am definitely at a point that everybody gets to at some point in their lives, and some people reach it earlier in life. I'm reaching it a little later, where if I want to eat the things I want to eat and I want to do the things that I want to do, like, there's an immediate ramification. To carbohydrates, there's an immediate ramification to like you know what I'm saying, like,
yeah.
Your body just doesn't bounce back the way that it did once did, right? And you know, knock on wood, I've been, you know, fairly healthy throughout my life, and I want to stay that way, but I've got some hereditary things that, you know, as everybody does, you got to pay attention to as you get a little bit older. And so I, you know, for the majority of my life, I, you know, running was a way that I calibrated. Like, I would, like,
you were a runner?
Yeah, I ran a couple marathons.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, I, and I,
In the little shorts and everything?
Okay, time out. In the little shorts.
Did you have like a little number on you?
No, I had a number. Thing? Would you like, I'll bring you pictures. Yeah, no, I ran a couple marathons back to back just as sort of like a, I don't know, I did it sort of like as a, I just kind of wanted to prove to myself that I could do it.
And then once you did it, did you have any desire to do it again?
Well, I did it once and I didn't hit my goal time, like the time I really wanted.
Yeah.
And if anyone's ever trained for even a half marathon or even a, you know, a 5K or a three, I mean, it's a lot of training.
I just trained to walk to the refrigerator. I'm good. Saying,
like, if
I can't drive there, I ain't going.
Yeah, if you've ever trained for a marathon, you know, those later in the training regimens of the 18-miler so that you're building your endurance up to be able to handle the you know, the eventual finish are killers. And Julie was, you know, with me every step of the way. And when I finished the first marathon and didn't really hit my time, I sort of looked at her like, I think I'm going to do it again.
Has she run a marathon?
She was
Attagirl.
She was using multiple methods of transportation to follow along while I would be jogging.
That's
one
my girl.
Would be like biking. I think there was rollerblades at one time in the mix.
That's awesome.
With the shorter miles, and then there was biking, and then I'm sure there was an automobile at some point where I just called and said, "Come pick me up." Like my legs cramping or I don't know, whatever it was. She just came and got me. It's like, I don't know. I'm at Diversey and whatever. Right. And come grab my, you know what, throw me in the car and, you know, we can make it home. But and then I beat sub 4. Like I just wanted to finish sub 4 hours.
Okay.
Which I ended up doing with myself.
I don't know if that's good. So it's fine.
It was just a personal goal that I set.
Right.
It's like, hey, finish in under 4 hours. I think I was like
How far?
I was 402. My first one, I was like 357 on my second.
So 26 miles, is that how? No, half
21.
Marathon. 21. I have no idea.
21.5 or 6.
21 miles hours?
You block it out after like mile 20.
Right, I bet.
Or 18.
I bet.
You're just running on whatever you got. Anyway, the reason I mention this is because back in the day, you know, yeah, I could kind of eat whatever I wanted and there really wasn't a ramification physically and I was super active because I was a contractor, so I'm... You know, I'm working 12-hour days, and I'm up and down on ladders, and I'm doing all that stuff. And you know, then you know, as my career progressed, I'm not going to say that I got sedentary, but I had to find different ways to sort of stay active. Although I'm normally a pretty active person, but now and what I'm finding is the regimented workout schedule that I have is actually helping me center.
Sure.
You know, like everybody, right? Like, it's helping me sort of recharge and sort of just stay focused. I mean, it's really helping me. And I'm doing something I never thought I would do. I'm rowing to the iFit. So for those of you who don't know, the iFit like loads programs and workouts through your iPhone and connects all these, you know, and you can do workouts through trainers. A little bit like Peloton.
Okay, yeah.
Right,
makes sense.
iFit. And there's this.
I thought you said we were talking about AI because that's exactly what this.
Well, I don't know if this is AI at all. Here's what I do know. All I know is the trainer that I have when we're rowing on like the Seine and all these awesome rivers in Europe, like Julie just laughs because I haven't figured out the Bluetooth mechanism yet. So I'm just blasting the guy's full sound coming through the machine. And he's like, and good morning. Today we're going to have a glorious workout. Today we're going to be focusing on power and speed. So I need leg thrusts and I need good full pulls. Like he's just like, he's very motivating, right? I'm already paying attention because he, you know what I mean? Like it's not an...
Because he has an accent. That's
yeah,
why you're paying
exactly.
Because
I would not feel as good about it if he had an Italian accent. Like get in the you-know-what boat, okay? We got to get this done, okay? I got, you know what I got to do? Like if it was that guy...
Or the Southern
like,
accent.
It would not... Well, Southern might actually... That might actually work for me, but...
We're going to need you to row
faster. He's super
motivating.
He's always telling me I'm doing a good job. Like he's... Oh, and it's pre-recorded. It's not AI. It's not like I'm actually... You know what I mean? Like there's no... I know that I'm not on whatever river I'm on, but you are passing like historic castles and, you know, you do get the sense that you're actually, you know, somewhat, and it's a wonderful distraction for these 25-minute rowing sessions. And I'm like all about the rower now. And I'm like feeling it in my upper body. I feel strong. I've been doing it now for about 2 weeks now. And it's actually been great because it's been a wonderful, you know, sort of aside to like always lifting weights, You know, they say you gotta keep your balance. Mm-hmm. And that a lot of times your balance and your leg strength and your core strength is actually one of the most important things that you can do as you age, right? Is to stay balanced, you know, because
right.
people fall. So,
oh, yeah.
You know, so I'm sort of focused on all of those things. And I'm not doing it to get bigger. I'm not doing it, you know what I'm saying? I'm doing it just because I want to maintain what I got and I want to eat what I want, right? When I want to eat it.
Well, I mean, your metabolism comes to a screeching halt at a certain age, I think.
Yeah,
right?
No
and
doubt.
I think it doesn't just affect your weight. It does affect your energy and your focus and everything. And they say the more active you are,
yeah, you know what
the
I'm,
longer
you know
live.
What, you know what I'm understanding? Soup and a half sandwich. I totally get that now.
Oh.
I had no idea why anybody would order that like 10 years ago. I'm not kidding you. I would be like, well, who would order that? Why, well, full sandwich. Why half sandwich? What? Now
yeah.
I get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You order a full sandwich, you're like sleeping in the back of the van.
I need a
on a Wednesday at like 2 because you're crashing on the cars and you're waking up and you're like, okay, gotta pick Silk. Okay, gotta. Okay, what? I gotta pick the. Okay, let me. Ah, rally, you know? So I'm just trying to maintain. The reason I mention this is because as we age, there becomes something that I want to focus on today's show, which is intentionality. And I feel like this is something that goes hand in hand with the design process is what are you doing? Why are you doing something? And are you actually living an intentional life by design? And it doesn't mean that the design doesn't change and it doesn't mean that you're rigid in that focus or that approach. But Nancy, you know this from just being a business owner, like everything you do as a business owner and everything you do, I think if you want to be a really successful professional, there has to be some intentionality behind it, right? Like there's got to be a strategy behind it. There's got to be a thought behind it. There's got to be meaning behind it. There's got to be something there.
Yeah.
So, and I think entrepreneurs know that better than anyone, right? People who had to really, I think, build something from the ground up have the understanding of when the moves were intentional and unintentional. Sometimes the unintentionality just comes through the fact that you got lucky because you were prepared to take advantage of an opportunity. And then therefore it wasn't really luck.
Yeah.
It was just an opportunity to come along at the right time. And you were able to put in the energy, effort, right, and rise to the occasion. And I think what happens in life is that the more often you're on offense with your intentionality of keeping moving in the direction you think, at least in the moment, is the right direction, the higher likelihood you have of attracting opportunities,
right?
Because that there's a natural gravity to that. There's a natural gravity to successful people and to successful projects. And it's interesting to see what's happening both in the world right now, on the political side of things, on the business and economic side of things, on the technological side of things. It is starting to feel like a renaissance on a lot of levels. That if you're not prepared to rise to the level of the activity that I think people are feeling, a reactive posture is going to leave you, I think, at a real disadvantage.
Mm-hmm.
I think if you get picked off, it's going to be because you were not as intentional as you should be, because that's what's coming. And I want to talk about that when we come back from the break. Intentionality in life and design. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And, you know, in the previous segment, we were talking about, well, we're talking about lots of things, mostly me. Mostly me. Mostly me. And iFit and
I'm
rowing.
Shocked. Yeah, I don't do the rowing thing. Like, you know, we have
I love it. Listen, this dude is really, like, and I know he's always there. That's the thing. Like, he's always going to be positive. You know what I mean? I got to walk in and he's going to be some personal trainer that's going to download his personal problems on me while I'm trying to, like, lift heavy things.
Not the Southern person, like, I mean,
I'm sure a good personal trainer is going to put their stuff aside and be like, okay, you know.
Right.
But I'm sure that happens. Like, why are you telling me this? This weight is really heavy. Are you paying attention to my spot? You know what I mean? But this guy's jacked. I mean, and he doesn't talk back to me. And he's, you know what I mean? Like, he just.
So this guy, you're not going to walk in the room and he's, you know, like this.
Yeah,
southern,
he's not, like, I'm not getting in the boat. And he's like, oh, you again.
Right.
And he's like, oh my gosh, on this glorious. And it, literally in every one of the videos. Like, the weather is gorgeous, you know? I mean, maybe the, I don't know. Maybe
sounds unrealistic.
It doesn't matter. It just makes me feel great because I'm like, you know, today, what did you do this morning? I rode in Belgium. Yeah. 25 minutes on the rower in the belt, you know what I mean? Waving at tour boats going by. He even does that. He was like, and the tour boats coming to this glorious tourist town, right?
Do you have a choice of your trainer?
I don't think so. I mean, I'm pretty much on a program. Like, I'm following this guy all the way through.
Right, but I mean, like, it could, like,
yeah.
If
I mean,
you
I'm sure. Like, if I learn more about it, you could. There are favorites, but what I'm loving is, again, today's segments are going to be about intentionality, and you know, it's interesting to always have to come to this air race to talk about something that is has a link to design. When people are like, "What do you mean? What does that have to do with interior design?" It has everything to do with interior design. Yeah. It has everything to do, your level of intentionality on the way that you make your home, has everything to do with the energy and the effort and the intentionality that you put into it.
Of course.
And if you believe that it's discretionary, and this is, again, this is the rub that you know that I've had for years, is that when it's treated like decoration only, when design is treated like decoration only, you're absolutely discounting the real calling and the mission that you have to create not only a sanctuary, but an inspirational space for you and for your family, and a space that grows and nurtures them. The concept of home, you know, you talk about rights. This is interesting, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, like, not everybody might not have a right to own a home. Right, that we can get into. There's probably a debate to be had there, but doesn't everybody deserve the shot at creating one, even if that home isn't something that you own?
Right, of course.
Okay? So the concept of home is such an important thing to us as a species. Like it transcends the latest trend magazine, right, or what's popular. Like,
right,
it's such an elemental part of who we are that. To have it be seen in such a transient and disposable nature is why you know that I get amped up, because I don't do disposable and transient design.
No.
And I don't even care if it's a client, a vendor, a contractor, whoever it might be, who isn't taking what we're trying to do seriously or with the care, the stewardship, and the craftsmanship that our projects require. It grates. Clients too. If they're not going to hold themselves accountable to an intentional process with my firm, they're not a great client. I'm sorry. I'll just say it. Like I have always said, and I just said this in an interview recently. I said, I actually don't judge the size of projects. I judge the size of the client's commitment to their project. And I don't care if that project is small. If they're all in and they want all in, we can find a way to bring them into our umbrella at the Design Coach, fold them in, and help them.
Right.
But if you're going to treat design like a discretionary activity, that's hard. That's a hard place for a professional design firm to live. It's maybe where someone who's doing decoration at a furniture store or part-time might live, because they, you know what I mean? They're just sort of subject to whoever comes in the door, and
right,
they service the clients that come in to buy furniture. There's a different contract, soft contract, right?
Right.
In that space, right? If you're really trying to affect people's lives and really change their lives and transform their lives and improve and enhance their lives through design, it starts first and foremost with an intentional mindset. And that's what I want to talk about over the next sort of 2.5 segments that we have here this morning, is what does that really look like? And how do we link it to the benefits in both life and design? And you're going to find that the overarching, it reaches into every aspect of who you are. And I'm finding that out. I'm finding how intentional I am with taking care of myself has a direct correlation with taking care of my clients and my family. You know what I'm saying? Like it's all interconnected. And I think what we've done is we've fooled ourselves a little bit into thinking that life is a series of compartmentalized silos of activity.
Mm-hmm.
And then we get annoyed or upset when they collide violently. When we've kept, no, this
right.
is true. Like
yeah,
when we've put them in silos mentally, emotionally, sometimes physically, right? And then all of a sudden, life finds a way to sneak into work, and work finds a way to sneak into life, as it always does.
Mm-hmm.
Health finds a way to ruin both.
Right.
Okay? And what you find out is then you find out, you're like, oh, it's all interconnected, right? And like, we're like annoyed by it. Like, we have the arrogance to then be like annoyed.
Well,
right?
It's so much easier to manage when everything isn't just exploding.
Okay, but no, it's not even about exploding. It's about the time demands.
Merging.
It's about the time demands of each of the priorities. You're going to have times. Like, it's funny watching all these influencers now. Like, I love this new generation of influencers on Instagram that I'm saying, who are totally blowing the lid off of work-life balance. Listen, you either have your priorities in order or you do not. And if you need work-life balance, it usually means you don't love your job.
Yeah.
It means you feel like you need to get away from it.
Right.
Because what you're doing isn't fulfilling you in some way. Well, if you're in a job you don't love, you are almost by default living an unintentional life. Because I'm sure that there's something out there that you're doing, or you're just suffering through.
You're settling.
You're settling or suffering through
uh-huh.
the job you hate, right? To either just put food on the table for your family or gut it out. And there is no way that that leads to a healthy outcome, physically, mentally, emotionally, and even financially.
Mm-hmm. It's exhausting.
It's exhausting. And at some point, it just stops working.
Right.
And then at some point, a lot of people just get angry.
And they shut down.
And they shut down.
And they shut down in the all aspects.
And then they binge in retirement. Okay? And by that time, it's kind of too late.
Like, right.
You know, like, you can't do the things you used to do. Like, you know, you can't be as patient as you want to be to a certain extent. And I'm forecasting this in my own mind because, of course, I'm in my mid-50s. So, you're looking towards, you know, there's a little legacy building. There's a little bit of like, you know, tomorrow's not promised to anyone. And you start looking at the landscape of the clients that you work for and your own life. And I want to make sure that the intentionality switch doesn't dim as I get older. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there seems to be, I want to have a purpose-driven life right till the end.
But your purpose is going to change.
No, I'm not saying it can't change.
Right.
But you got to have one.
Right.
Okay? And you also got to have one that is aligned to actually make sure that your professional life, that your personal life, and your physical well-being and your mental well-being are aligned. See, it doesn't work if one or the other is out of balance. Listen, I've been through all of these stages. I can speak from my perspective on this, and I think it resonates with a lot of people that says at any given time, you know, you're struggling with the balance of all of the priorities. And typically when you get yourself into trouble, it's because you weren't paying attention. You know?
Yeah.
Or you were paying attention in the wrong percentage to the wrong thing.
Right. Yeah.
And what happens is that over time, a scar tissue builds up in your sphere of people around you when you've done that too often. And at some point, you can't break through that. It takes a lot. Like, unfortunately, life has a way of throwing tragedies and things our way to make us
I was going
to
say,
clear
smacking,
again.
Life
like,
has a way of
to
smacking
clear
you
our
in the
vision.
Face.
Yeah,
yes.
To kind of clear our vision like, again. And that's what I think, what I'm realizing about as I study people who, gosh, are just putting a significant amount of like effort in the intentionality of what they do and who they are, that it goes beyond this superfluous extra conversation about like personal brand building. That's important. I mean, listen, you and I have had Sonia comments on this airways to talk about personal branding.
Right.
But the underpinnings of that are intentionality. So the personal brand piece can't be what are you showing the world visually only. And that's where we get stuck in interior design. In interior design, we start talking about what we're showing the world visually. Versus, it's not just about the visual, but also about the functionality behind it that allows us to share it. We're starting to get into a realm of experience with clients, having done this now for more than 25 years, where we're seeing the special moments play out and how the spaces we've created allow our clients to share and enhance those moments because of the right environment and the concept of home. And what's interesting about it is how the definition of home doesn't always need to feel like your home. I'll give you an example, Nancy. There are homes that you walk into to people that you know where you just feel like you're welcome. You feel like you're at home, even though it's not.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the best places. Those, to me, are like the best spaces. Not necessarily the experiential ones, okay, that have sort of a limited tolerance, right?
Right.
But the ones where you're like, the ones where you say to yourself, oh my gosh, I could live here.
Right.
And everybody has their own definition of that, but that's the exploration that I want, because those spaces are intentionally designed to feel that way.
Sure.
They are not accidental. And the care that our parents and parents today and grandparents today, the level of intentionality that you put into creating those amazing spaces for the ones that you love needs to be a priority, because it not only helps strengthen the relationships, but the intentionality that you put into it is an example of how you build a life. We're going to talk about that when we come back. We're talking intentionality in life and design. Stay with us. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1. I'm not navigating my coffee drawdown very well either. That's a problem.
Well, you said you're trying to lower your caffeine intake.
Yes.
They say
I have a naturally high motor. I just don't think it's great for me. Don't get me wrong.
Naturally high motor.
Yeah, well, I'm a short Italian guy,
excellent,
right?
Excellent. Most
with a high
way.
Polish work ethic. I mean, what do you want from me?
Totally
this is,
perfect.
This is what I do.
Yeah.
This is who I am.
That's the perfect description of you.
Yeah, I know.
I love it.
Yeah, who likes to wear a lot of plaid?
What is fueling that? And if you're going to lower your caffeine intake, your exercise
is helping.
Goals
That's helping.
Should be helping.
And good morning, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. And we're talking
fitness
about other
with
than my
Philip is up fit, next.
Yeah. Intentionality, fitness, and coffee withdrawal with The Design Coach. No. I don't know. Listen, it's my show. What do you want me to tell you? You know, me is going to seep into every part of the show.
It should.
Here's what I can say about this intentionality conversation that we're on today. I really want to get into some of the core values of it, because I've taken a lot of time professionally to do some checkdowns. Okay. The first checkdown I did was to be a better student as I get older, to be committed to learning, changing, and being shaped so that I can change others and myself. I'm going to repeat that. I've turned into much more of a student as I've gotten older. I did something this week I was really proud of. This is going to sound really bad to
okay.
most of the listening audience. But it's just part of the way that we're structured as a family. My wife, Julie, is an amazing, she's an amazing person, but she's an amazing cook.
Mm-hmm.
And over our 25 plus years of marriage, she is the driver there. Okay. Like, she's just been the driver and she enjoys it. But, you know, recently over the past couple of years, it's been like, hey, it would be really helpful to me as her job has gotten more demanding.
Right.
And with the international travel, it's like, hey, can you help lighten the load there? And I don't know that I heeded that charge as well as I could have early, but I did something this week this is me changing. I got home early. She was wanted to work out, right? Because she's trying to make her physical, you know, well-being a priority, and I want to support her in that, obviously, and she's supporting me. So she pulled out some ingredients, and it was almost like the episode of Chopped, where like you had limited. I was looking at like an avocado, like a yellow, an onion, and like some peppers, and like some steak.
She said, "Make it."
No, and she's like, "This something. Is what we're having." I'm thinking steak sandwiches. It was like very little direction, right? And I said to myself, "I'm like, you know what? I'm like, this is the day."
Like, oh,
don't say, oh no.
Okay.
This is the day. So here's what I did. I, being a student, I just said the show wasn't going to be about AI. It's going to totally be about AI.
I know.
I went in and I went into Perplexity. I'm like, okay, these are the ingredients that I have. Like, what would be good pairings with this steak sandwich thing? And so I literally started sauteing the onions. I chopped them. I cut them up. I cut up the peppers. I sauteed them in a balsamic olive oil. And I kind of caramelized them a little bit, like I let it reduce a little bit so they were like sweeter and really soft. I did that, so I got that going. And then I defrosted the meat, and then it said to brown the meat, and then I browned the meat with like salt and pepper. And then I put a little bit of like a soup stock. She doesn't know this, but she knows it now. But I put a little soup stock in there so that, you know, it just enhanced the beef flavor.
Yeah.
So I got the beef going. There's these thinly sliced pieces of beef from Costco. I mean, I didn't do anything magical here, people. I understand that this is a really basic meal. But then I took the bread and I cut it, and I cut it into small little steak sandwich pieces. And then I'm like, okay, good pairing with this. What do we have in the fridge? Julie always has stuff. I made a spinach salad. I sprinkled feta on it, and I cut up these tomatoes that I knew that we had.
Look at you go.
I know. And then I was like, okay, how about just a little bit of starch in this? Like, then I went on a roll.
Oh, God.
And then I got the mashed potatoes going, so I did the mashed potatoes. Don't make that face. I didn't make mashed potatoes. I didn't peel them and do that. It was a microwave gig.
Yeah.
But the thought was, she came upstairs from the workout, and the meal, I think for maybe the first time in a really long time, if ever, a complete meal was ready to go that she didn't have to touch. And what I was so proud of is that she liked it.
Good.
Like, you know, she's like, this is really good. I mean, aww, it made her so happy for such a long period of time that level of intentionality and that movement by me had a ripple effect on her for hours.
Mm-hmm.
To the point now where she's like, oh, you just opened up Pandora's box.
Yeah.
Now I know you
can. That's the only problem.
Now I know you can do it. But it's okay, because here's the thing. Like,
you enjoyed it, though, didn't you?
I know, but listen, I am after trying to chase some sort of legendary status in my own mind. I mean, I can admit this on the radio. I don't just want to be good. I want to be great.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know that with every breath and with everything that I'm doing, that I'm at least advancing that.
You're trying.
With the people in my life, right, on some level, right? And so that's just really my mindset. Like, as I turn 56 at the end of the month, I just want to be awesome. And I want the awesomeness train to kind of continue. Okay?
Yeah.
And I want you in the audience there to think about the fact that your life doesn't have to peak at 40.
But
right?
You have to be the conductor of the awesome,
yes,
train.
You have to be
nobody
the,
else
I love
is
that.
Make your you life
awesome.
You
need to be the conductor of the awesome train. Now, it helps to have the right people around you.
Well,
that
of course.
I will tell you. I have a great team. I have an awesome family. Okay? Like I, at work and at home, I am absolutely disciplined and nurtured and celebrated and scolded for all of the,
all of
listen,
the right
but,
reasons.
But for all of the right reasons. Like, right? Like I love that. And I think that goes into this level of intentionality that I think is really important, because the first thing that I wanted to talk about in this was the real definition of your values and your purpose. I think I've been very fortunate. I always sort of knew what I wanted to do. I sort of always knew I wanted to affect people's lives in a positive way through creativity. And I didn't care to define it as painting or art or contracting or design. I didn't pigeonhole myself into thinking that I could only be good at one thing. And I think a lot of people do that. I think a lot of people, you know, derive their you know, identity from the thing that they're good at.
Right.
And then they go all in on that, and it absolutely shuts and closes doors to opportunity, to thinking that they can be anything else. Like, I always love the stories when it's like, you know, the heart surgeon all of a sudden decided he just wanted to, like, you know, turn into like a, you know, wanted to build homes. Or the attorney that wanted to like completely change careers because they just didn't like being like they knew the law, but they didn't love the law.
Right.
And they wanted I love stories like that because I think we're sold a false narrative that whatever we decide we go to school for is what we need to be. And we need to be that forever. When you said your priorities change, yeah, but so can you. And I really believe that as people get older, I think that gets harder. I think it gets harder to do because you've sort of sold yourself. And even though you might have inspirational people around you saying, oh, there's still time, you don't necessarily really believe that.
Right.
And you don't even know where to begin. And I think that what I want to outline to you is this morning is I did some research and I looked a little bit on the intentionality piece. And this defining your values and your purpose, even though that purpose may change, is a really important one. Knowing who you are allows you to speak to life without a teleprompter. See, if you're always having to think about what you have to say about you versus just saying, hey, this is kind of what I'm all about, and you've put in the work to defining yourself and what your values are and what your purpose is, I think that there's an ease and there's a comfortability to that as you begin to articulate it. And then it helps with that mechanism of self-selling your own mind. In other words, you believing
right.
You can do it. But if you haven't defined it and you can't articulate it to anyone else, of course you're going to stay stuck. See, if you haven't defined what maybe it's your new purpose after 50. You know, my new purpose is this. Like my purpose pre-50 was raising my kids and going all in and suffering maybe through a job I didn't love to be able to get my kids to this point. Well, guess what? God, like now 50 to, listen, who knows with modern medicine how long we may live.
Right.
Right? I think that notion of like the sunset is going to change drastically with AI medicine, with technological advances. Hopefully quality of life improves, right? And they just don't keep us living longer, but they help us healthier. I hope that this new environment that we're in with all the conversation about changing our food, the chemicals in our food, I hope all of that has a really positive. And when I say renaissance, Nancy, I said that to start the show. I believe we're in one. I believe we are at the precipice of not a constitutional crisis. I believe that we are on a precipice of a renaissance.
Right.
And a changing of the guard and an understanding of how to be a healthier nation and maybe even a healthier world. And guess what? It all starts at home.
Yeah.
All the best charities local, right?
Right.
You want to start changing the world? Start with your home. Start with your neighborhood. Start with your community. Start with your city. You know, you want to have a positive impact and change the world? Start small. In fact, what's interesting about this is when we talk about defining goals and purpose, when you reflect on your passions and your strengths, it becomes really interesting to understand, especially as you get older, what you're really good at. And I think what people also oftentimes discount is the fact that you can be good at something, but that thing that you're good at doesn't need to be industry specific. If you're good at finance or you're good at organization or you're good at inspiration or you're good at sales or you're good at whatever it is, you can apply that to not only things that have a professional designation, but you can apply that to things in your personal life. It can be garnering consensus in a community group to have a positive impact to renovate or rejuvenate a neighborhood. It's about articulating that vision, but if you don't have a vision and you don't have a purpose as a person and you don't have a vision, it's not just about the brand, okay? It's about that you don't really have an authentic brand without a real purpose.
Right.
So putting in that work was really key. I think the next thing that I think really helped as I processed for my life and for my company was to set clear goals. There's a thing called SMART. Have you heard of that? When you create a goal, it should be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time-bound. I'm going to go through that again. Specific. So your goal should be specific, right. Not general.
Right.
Right? It should be measurable. Attainable. It should be achievable. It should be realistic to a certain extent, right? Relevant, meaning it should have relevant across the board. Like, right. For instance, getting yourself in shape has a positive impact in your professional life and your home life.
Right.
Has a positive impact on your family, has a positive impact on your work. Now, too much, and I've seen this, too much working out at a detriment to your relationships. In other words, prioritizing that over all and not having a balanced approach to it causes a problem. Right. I've seen that play out as well. The indulgence into too many things without evenly distributing your effort across all priorities has to start with goal setting.
Otherwise, where are you going to go?
Or else, where are you going to know what to do?
Right. How do you know when you're...
Or where to move?
Yeah.
See, the greatest thing about... I think one of the freeing things that I've seen in the goal setting piece is actually being able to then recognize that your effort, that one of your goals can be helping people achieve theirs. We're going to talk about that and explore that when we explore intentionality in life and design right here on The Design Coach. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 96.1 with your host, Philip Sassano. How am I doing so far today?
Well, it's segment four, and I think you're doing good. But if you go back to the last segment, a couple of things that you talked about were, if you don't have a goal, how do you know when you've crossed a finish line or come close to it? Even if your goals change.
I mean, it's even worse if you don't have a purpose.
Right. Like, how do you know that you've done what you wanted to do if you don't have those things?
Yeah, and I'm going to make a bold statement here. If you're breathing and you can still communicate, you can have a purpose.
Well, yeah.
You still have the opportunity to change someone's life, even if it's not anyone you know. As long as you're kicking, you still have the ability, especially with technology today. You know what I'd love to see? I'd love to see some influencers north of 65 years old share wisdom on Instagram. That's what I'd like to see. Why? Right now, I would like to encourage seniors out there that have maybe a sales background or are comfortable in front of the camera. Honestly, start imparting your knowledge. Maybe they're out there. Maybe I should search for more of them and maybe highlight them. I'm letting you know that technology has allowed us the ability to at least create an impact and to influence in some way, in ways that was not possible for previous generations.
No. But make sure you use that power for good and not evil.
But don't waste the Renaissance.
Mm-hmm.
Don't waste the Renaissance that I keep talking about. And I think when you talk about, you're like, well, what does that mean? So I have a purpose. I'm setting some goals. Like, but I'm having maybe trouble reaching the goals. Here's what I think is interesting is I'm going to go back to the marathon conversation that came up two segments ago when I ran the marathon. I would have thought it an impossibility. I had a hard time in cross country. I'll be honest. I ran cross country in high school. I didn't particularly love it. I was like, oh my gosh, we're running. I went back to football because I just loved football more. I loved the intricacies of the game and I still loved football. But I ran cross country for like a season. Question?
I feel like you're far more built for a football career than a cross country career. Your legs are a little short.
Yeah, I know. I get it. Cross country was, but listen, I learned some valuable lessons. But one of the things that I did learn was that when I ran the marathon, I learned there was no way to shorten the track, right? To shorten the distance. There was no other way than to just start moving. And so what the marathon taught me in the training and actually in the running of the marathon was just don't stop.
Right.
That it didn't matter how fast you moved. It didn't matter how fast you were running. Just don't stop. Just keep moving. And I think what that means is when people say, people say it all the time, well, start one step at a time. It's totally true. You look at a mountain and you think about what it's going to take to climb that mountain. We psych ourselves out so often, not only in interior design, but on projects that we want to do. Like, listen, you're in the middle of a project right now.
Yeah.
But because you've been through it so many times, you're not afraid of the steps to get there.
Right.
Because you've done it and that's what experience has taught you. For people that might not have those experiences, especially if they're embarking on a new career where they might not actually have the knowledge that they think that they need, guess what? AI is going to change that. You can go to school on your phone right now.
Mm-hmm.
You can get a baseline understanding of a lot of things and it's right in the palm of your hand, which means the first step is become a great student again. You want to achieve your goals? Start small, one step at a time. and build your intentionality not through the mountain of the big dream or through the lens of the big dream. Build your intentionality through the dedication of taking one step at a time to build the dream. You're going to get there. In fact, what's interesting is I tell my team all the time, success never feels the way that you think it does. It's never this ticker tape parade where there's like confetti falling like the Super Bowl at the end of the game. Like it feels like broken, bloodied. Like it feels like it does at the end of a marathon.
Yeah.
Like I'm sorry to keep drawing this analogy, but it's a really relevant one for today's conversation because every step of the way, you're focused on just staying moving. You're regulating your body. You're doing the right habits by hydrating. Like there are a lot of lessons to just doing it one step at a time. And when we set our goals in the abstract, and then we're shocked that they're difficult to define and achieve, what's wrong with you? Like, listen, I knew I wanted to build a great team. The first thing I needed to do was have a purpose to attract them. So I went out and I tried to articulate a culture that would attract the right people.
Right.
I didn't even know any of these people. Like, I'm not kidding you. Like, my team, I'm so blessed to have them, but they're here because there was a vision that when they looked at it, they could say, I can get behind that. I want to be a part of that. And I hope this guy's living it. And I hope he's doing it and reinforcing it and growing it. And honestly, that's now what we're doing as a team.
But it's a purpose.
But if you don't think you need to be doing that in your own home, your kids are watching.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching how you prioritize. In some cases, they're adopting the good and the bad habits of your inability to be intentional with your life. Listen, I've made mistakes like all parents have. But I think the thing that I'm maybe really proud of in my kids is I feel like they wake up every morning with purpose, can articulate what that purpose is for them today. And I believe and I encourage them in that, even though I know that it's going to change and it might hurt to do the things that they're doing. You know, would I love my son to be not 2,000 miles away in California? Yeah. But you know what? He's doing some really cool big things out there. And,
right.
And I'm in contact with him on a daily basis. And that's the advantage of today's technology. Whereas you and I both know, if we moved 2,000 miles away from our parents, it was like a relationship death sentence.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
Right.
Now, he might, it's no different than I tell Julia. It's like, yeah, I miss him too. But you know what? He was gone at school for 6 months, and he's coming back from California every 4 weeks to see, you know what I mean? Like, we see him a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you see him more now he lives 2,000 miles away.
So getting back to the intentionality piece, the intentionality piece doesn't need to be this big thing. You know, you reverse engineer going to the moon by creating the right vehicle to get you there. So it started with the rocket. You know, getting to the moon didn't start with picking the guys. You got to get the vehicle to get there.
Mm-hmm.
Started with the science and the technology to build the rocket. The intentionality in your life to do big things starts with building the rocket to get you there. Then you can find the people who you want to put in the capsule with you. Because what you're going to find is there's people who are built to ride in a rocket, and there are people who just want to sit on the porch. And you can't take the person that wants to sit on the porch doesn't want to be intentional and put them in the intentionality rocket and launch. You can't do that. You got to have adventurers on the intentionality train. You got to have balanced people. Because one of the things that they talk about in this is when you practice strengthening your relationships, it's also strengthening the right relationships. Listen, not everybody wants to live an intentional life. That's their prerogative. I think it's a waste. That's just my opinion. I feel like it's too great a gift. It's too big a deal. It's too big a deal. You know, like maybe there's aliens, maybe there's not. I don't know. All I know right now is we're the only species that we have proof of who does what we do. And what we do, no other species on the planet does. So we can either live more in the animal space or we can live in the human space, which has so many gifts and so many joys and so many moments of amazing things that you're capable of doing that other species on the planet are not. So what are you doing? Every minute matters. Every minute counts. And the lack of intentionality is what's, honestly, Nancy, let's be honest, it's what's caused a lot of problems in the world. Okay?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that, like, yeah, war is intentional too. Yeah, well, that's misapplied. Okay?
Right.
So don't throw that back at me.
Right.
You know that's not what I'm talking about. I still expect your intentionality to be a force for good, for what I call lift. Are you lifting your coworkers? Are you dragging them down? Are you lifting your family? Are you dragging them down? You get to decide every day whether or not you want to be wings or an anchor. Every day, you get to decide, do you have wings? Do you want to give wings or do you want to be an anchor? And your attitude matters in that. And the positivity that you bring and the energy that you bring to that effort matters. Which is why when we see word salad bureaucratic BS not advancing the lives of people that the federal government is actually tasked with doing, government should be advancing and securing the foundation of good, and we see it wasted. I mean, Nancy, those numbers this week were mind-boggling, and how much of that money could have been used right here at home.
Right.
To create homes for people, to create an intentional American dream as the basis of why we love living here. And I don't mean to go off on a political tangent because it's actually not political. The concept of home, safety, security, honesty, clarity, integrity, that is something that should be just pervasive in the American culture.
It's humane.
It's humane. Okay?
Right.
And so the only way we can capitalize on what I believe to be this intentional renaissance, or capitalize on the renaissance that I think is in front of us with an intentional mindset, is to look at exploring all of the options and all of the things that didn't work to find things that do. We're seeing this play out. And listen, I see this play out all the time. How many times in your home do you throw Band-Aid over Band-Aid over Band-Aid over Band-Aid with decorative this and more of that, only to have to give it away, sell it at a garage sale, fall out of love with it because it was an unintentional purchase that was just meant to just get you by? And aren't we all tired of just getting by? And what do we love about the homes that we see in the magazines that are beautifully designed, where the families look happy, right? Like, and they've created wonderful homes. It's that they were done with a level of intentionality I really believe people are hungry for. Listen, there's a lot on today's show. I packed a lot in there. I know this. I get it. But I'm not an expert. I'm just trying to be better, right? And if you want to be better, you got to make it intentional and you got to have a purpose. Anyway, have a great Sunday, everybody, and a great Valentine's Day weekend. You've been listening to The Design Coach right here on Lake 961. You've been coached.